Well, good morning, everyone. We're turning to Genesis and the chapter 22, and I think that this morning we'll see the last time that I will say that to you, because we hope to conclude our little study of this wonderful event on Mount Moriah when Abraham showed his readiness, his willingness to sacrifice his son at God's command. We have been looking at this, seeing it as a wonderful picture of God's mercy to us in Christ, a picture of Christ. It was especially a very telling portion because Mount Moriah, as I've told you on a number of times, Mount Moriah was a mountain found right there in the city of Jerusalem. There wasn't a city there, of course, at that time, but it was round Mount Moriah that the city was later developed. It was on Mount Moriah that Solomon built his great temple. And if you go to Jerusalem today, there is a place called the Temple Mount. Now, I can only say it's desecrated by Muslim buildings because, long ago, over 1,000 years ago, Muslim nations rose up and they really did conquer large areas of Asia and even coming into Europe. Conquered Spain, for instance, but of course conquered Jerusalem. And they took over Mount Moriah and they built there a mosque. But that was the mountain on which Solomon built his glorious temple. Mount Moriah consists not just of one hill, but of a number of hills. And one of those hills is the hill where the Lord Jesus was crucified. It may well be that that area of Mount Moriah that Abraham took his son and offered him, tied him to the altar and was about to kill him at God's command when he was stopped, that may well have taken place on the hill where Jesus died. We can't really say, though I have to say my heart is inclined to think that it might have been on Calvary that this incident in Genesis chapter 22 took place. I don't say it did, but I'd like to think it did. It would so fulfill perfectly the picture that is given us here in this chapter of what would happen years and years and years later when the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, would come to die for sinners. Now there's two things I want you to quickly notice today. First of all, I want you to see something that perhaps is not quite so visible. We know all about Abraham coming, carrying the fire, carrying the knife. We know about Isaac carrying the great bundle of wood that was going to be used in the offering. We can visualize Abraham preparing the altar and then binding the hands and the feet of Isaac, placing him on the altar and taking the knife and just about to strike when the angel of the Lord spoke to him and stopped him from that final action whereby Isaac would have been killed. We can see all that. But there's one thing perhaps is not quite just so visible, and that is this: the faith of Abraham. You see, long ago in the life of Abraham, God had given him a promise, wonderful promise. If you older ones just go back to the chapter 12 of Genesis, where you have the beginning, as it were, of the story of Abraham. The verse 1 says, "Now the Lord had said," notice that, something that had happened even before what we're about to read. "The Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Are you saved today? Have you been blessed by God today through the gospel? Well, that blessing came to you through Abraham. Came to you through Abraham. God gave Abraham a son. And his son had a son. And his son's son had a son. And so on and so on and so on and so on. Until Lord Jesus was born. And the Lord Jesus is the fountain of blessing. The Lord Jesus is a descendant of Abraham. So when God said to Abraham, "In thee shall all the nations of the world be blessed," that worked out exactly right. For of Abraham came Christ, and your salvation came from Christ. So God blessed the whole world through Abraham. Now, for that promise to be fulfilled, Abraham had to have a son. He had to have a son. God is promising him here in Genesis 12, and he repeats the promise in greater detail in other places, that from Abraham there would descend one who would bless the whole world. That means Abraham had to have a son who would have a son, etc., etc., etc. But you see, God is saying here in Genesis chapter 22, in the verse 1, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and say unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son." Thine only son. God says, take him to Mount Moriah and offer him up as a sacrifice. Now the point I'm making is this. You've already come to it, haven't you? How could Abraham obey God and kill his son as a sacrifice and yet God still keep his promise? If his only son was killed, where then was the promise that of Abraham there would come all this great blessing to the world? Seemed to be a contradiction here. Now I'm saying that as Abraham went about so quietly, obediently, submissively, to carry out God's will, he showed his faith. He showed his confidence in God. He didn't stop and say, "Wait a minute, Lord. This is a complete contradiction. You have promised that of me will come countless descendants, and of me will come blessing to the whole world. But if I kill my only son, how can that be? How can that be?" He didn't say that. Never challenged God. He obeyed God. Oh, boys and girls, I want you to understand, this is what faith is. If you've ever wondered, what does it mean to have faith in God? What does it mean? Can you explain it to me? Well, here it is, pictured for you. Not just written out in word, but pictured for you. Abraham was exercising faith as he obeyed God and did that which seemed to cut off from him the great blessings that God had promised him. It just didn't make sense to the human mind, but Abraham believed God. It's explained to us in Hebrews. You older ones, look this up. Hebrews chapter 11, that's the great chapter about faith. And it details the wonderful faith of various well-known individuals in the history of the people of God. And it speaks about Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 17. Verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried or tested or tempted, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." See the contradiction? God says in Isaac the blessings will come. But God was saying kill Isaac. How could the blessings come through Isaac if Isaac was to be killed? But Abraham never doubted God. By faith he offered up Isaac. Look at where I left off there. This is the most important phrase. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. This was the reasoning of Abraham. This is the reasoning of faith. It doesn't matter how it appears to me, says Abraham, that in offering up Isaac I am cutting off from myself the very blessings God has promised me. That's how it may look, but I'm going to obey God because I know God is able to even raise up Isaac from the dead in order to fulfill the promise. Do you see the logic? Do you see the logic? There used to be a wee chorus, there still is, I'm sure, a wee chorus that says this: faith is just believing what God says he will do. That's what faith is. And it doesn't matter how things may appear to us. We must never, never let go of the fact that faith is just believing what God says he will do. There may be times, and it appears that it's impossible that the promise of God will be fulfilled. It just doesn't seem possible. But faith holds on to God and says God will work it out. For with God all things are possible. What a wonderful picture here, when we look at it, of what faith is. What a mighty man Abraham was. One final thing. You know how the story ends. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead, or in the place, of his son. Isaac was under the sentence of death, but God in his mercy provided a substitute. God provided a substitute. Abraham didn't bring that ram. It was God brought the ram there. Abraham didn't even see the ram until God pointed him out. And you see what it says? Verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, unknown to Abraham, God had made provision. Listen, boys and girls, this is another picture of the Lord Jesus here. It's a little mini picture in the bigger picture. We have looked at how Isaac was a picture of the Lord Jesus. Well, in the corner of this great picture of Isaac being a picture of Christ, we have another little picture, and it's the ram caught by its horns in the thorns. Very, very quickly, for only about a minute to go, I want you to notice three things that are needed if you're going to make the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. You need to see him. You need to see him presented to you in the Bible. John the Baptist, when he was preaching, he used these words, "Behold the Lamb of God." I wonder did he point his finger. I'm almost inclined to think he did. For the cry, "Behold," would have got everybody's attention. And whether they were standing with their back to him or what, they would have turned to see what this man was shouting about. "Behold!" And did he then point at the Lord Jesus and say, "The Lamb of God." You need to see the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God. Then Abraham did something else. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram. You need to see and you need to take the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Put your arms around. I've no doubt that Abraham likely did that. Disentangled its horns and probably lifted it up in his arms and carried it over to the altar. You need to put your arms of faith around the Lord Jesus and make him yours. Make him yours! Have you done that? Have you done that? And then it says, he offered him up. You know, when we come to God, if we are to be accepted by God, we have got to come by way of the offering of Christ. We have got to say to the Lord in heaven, "The Lord Jesus is my offering. He is my lamb that died for my sin. He's my offering. I'm depending on him and the shedding of his blood to have paid the price of my sin." In the Old Testament, it was the practice of whoever came with their lamb to the altar for the priest to perform the various duties of offering the lamb. The worshipper would stand by while the priest did all the work of slaying the lamb, etc., etc., etc. But then he would step forward and he would put his hand upon the head and thus say to God, "This is my offering." Have you done that with the Lord Jesus? Have you said, "He's my offering? My faith is in him and in him alone." That's what it is to be saved. When God sees you do that, you're pardoned, you're forgiven, your sins are put away forever. You're on your way to heaven. Well, have you done that? Have you done that? It's not enough to hear the gospel, taught the gospel in Sabbath school, etc., 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 but you never took the lamb, offered the lamb as your sacrifice. Oh, that you might understand these things today. That's bowing prayer. Lord, teach the boys and the girls, and may this picture of what Abraham did on the mount become very, very clear to them. Oh, that they might understand, I've got to make the Lord Jesus my sacrifice. Lay my hand on that dear head of his and say, he is my sacrifice. I'm depending in his blood. Oh God, grant such knowledge to every boy and girl. Bless the school today, we ask of thee. Bless the teachers. Bless the staff. Oh, overshadow every activity. Keep each one safe. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.